this isn't going to be what I normally do, but before we get to the sermon type thing, I have an announcement that is actually a pronouncement. A pronouncement. You, that's you, me, us, we are righteous. I can't say this enough. It's important for us to really understand we are righteous. Maybe you guys remember back in the day, I'm old enough to remember, a group called the Righteous Brothers. You know, they sang Unchained Melody, and I think it was You Lost That Lovin' Feeling, and I don't know what all else, but they sang it. Now, they were called the Righteous Brothers, but their last name wasn't Righteous, and they weren't actually brothers. So the question is, how did they get the name Righteous Brothers? Because they got done singing at a show one time, and I don't remember, I think it was Muddy Waters, doesn't really matter. But some famous person walked up to him and said, "You guys are righteous. You brothers are righteous." And that's how they got the name, the Righteous Brothers. It wasn't because they acted anyway righteously. It's because they were pronounced righteously. And you are righteous. Not because of the way you sound. That's why they were proclaimed righteous. Not because of the way you sing, but because of the fact you was declared by God Himself, you are righteous. And that's a better declaration than Muddy Waters or whoever that other famous person is. Glenwood, you are righteous. Whether you act it, whether you feel it, no matter what, remember, you are righteous. Now, we're going over to Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 6, 27 through 36. Luke 6, 27 through 36. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way that you want to be treated. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Now, this whole sermon is just practical day-to-day living. I usually try to, you know, one person said to me, "I like coming to Glenwood because the church gives me a reason to continue on through the next week till I can come back again." This isn't going to be so much one of those, "Yay, hang in there." It's going to be one of those, "Here is something to do, a practice that I would like for us to consider and to work out on your own, not coming to me." But we're going to start with verse 30, where it says, "Give to everyone who asks." Verse 30 says that. This is just a day-to-day thing. Give to everyone who asks. And a lot of people have this verse tucked away in their head, and they use it to impose upon themselves guilt. You're to give to every person who asked. Every person. And there's people, you know, you drive down the road, you see them standing there with signs, you know, "Give me money," whatever excuse they have. And a lot of them have real good excuses. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is this. That verse is taken out of context. The context, the things around it, and applies to that verse because it's located in the middle of those verses, is it's talking about how to deal with your enemies. How to deal with your enemies. It's not just random people that you happen to be walking down the street, but your enemies. If one of your enemies comes up to you and says, I want you to give me $5. Give them $5, especially if they're holding a gun and wearing a ski mask. You know, do what he says. They are your enemies. Give them the money. And that's basically what he says. Don't sit there and try to fight for this. $5 is not worth your life or the misery that it'll end up on your family if they beat you or something like that. It's not just random people that's coming your way he's talking about here. I was talking to a person who is an immigrant. They're an American citizen, but they didn't start here in America. And we were just discussing it, and I said, do you ever go back, and what's it like? And that person said, well, my country's communist now. And anytime you go to that country, or anytime I go to that country, they said, I have to watch everything I do and say because I'm an American and I'm used to being free. But when I'm in that country, I have to make sure there are certain things that I do not say. There are places that I cannot go. And if, and they was talking here because we was in Noble, they said, and if I want to go to Ollie now, I just jump in a vehicle and I drive to Ollie or drive to Florida, anywhere I want to go. But when I go to the country where I was born, I can't do that, and neither can anybody else. You've got to go to the office in your town, your village, or your city, or your neighborhood, and ask permission to drive 8 miles to a different town. And you have to give them the reason why you're going, and when you get there, there will be somebody there watching you. Said they won't stand up close, but they'll stand across the street, but they'll watch everywhere you go, and you better go to where you said you were going to. And if you work over there and live over there in our country, or in their country, if a person has a business over there, the party people will come around, not just once in a while, but two or three times a week, and say to the person who's running the business, have you got anything to give me today? They won't come right out and say, you are going to give me money. It's, have you got anything to give me? And you had best give them something, because if not, your place is liable to go up in fire or worse. That is where we're here talking about today. If you have an enemy, and like in that country, and they say, have you got something to give me? Do it. Don't fight against these people. They're evil to begin with. They would just soon beat you as look at you because they're in this power and authority. And so Jesus is saying, don't fight against these people. Remember, the Romans were the ones who were in occupation at this time. And he was saying, if they hit you, you know, he wasn't saying doing it with a cocky attitude like an American. Oh yeah, well, hit me again. But only you only get two shots. One cheek, two cheek, pow. Nope. He's saying, if they hit you, step away. Step away. Don't get all think you're gonna whip them. There's more of them than you. Be good to them, be gentle with them, talk nice to them. Because that's what makes you different from other people. Other people in the country will resent what the enemies are doing. You don't resent it. I'm not telling you to go out and become a traitor. What was that guy's name? Lived in Norway. He's famous. Oh. I'll think of it later. Anyway, this guy became a traitor. I almost said it. And his name became synonymous with a person who's a traitor to their own country. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about how to live in a world full of enemies. We need to realize there are people out there who do not like us. One of the reasons is just because we're Christians. But if somebody crosses you and they're an enemy, cooperate with them the best you can. Jesus himself avoided his enemies. So there's no, don't think that you have to be cocky and walk into the hornet's nest every time. Love your enemies, but even Jesus himself was talking about, Dwayne was talking this morning in Sunday school class, how Jesus tried to avoid the enemies because it wasn't his time yet. But he would go out of his way. Remember, he would say to people, okay, I'm going to pray for you. Now that you're healed, don't tell anybody. Don't go out and be telling the authorities in the area that will provoke them to come against me. It's not time for that yet. People say, why did he do that? Because he was trying to keep the provocation down at a low level so that they wouldn't attack him until the proper time. He had to present himself. All I'm saying is we need to get along with our enemies. We need to cooperate so that we can survive. Why do we need to survive? Because we're the people who's going to be telling about Jesus Christ to other people. We're going to be talking about the grace that He's given to people, and we are the ones who are the recipients of it. And because of that, He will meet our needs. Our reward will be great. If your enemy comes and takes something from you, don't try to get it back. Don't go over there and try to burn their house down. Don't try to get even. Instead, say, God, they took it. Bless them. And God said, your reward will be great. Walk by faith, not by sight, and say, God, I'm giving that away. It's no longer mine. It's gone. I'm trusting you, and God will bless you. It's hard to believe, but God will bless you. So what happens as time goes by? What if one of these people ends up getting converted? What if that happens? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus is where we're going. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, that's in the front of the book. Chapter 19. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, it's hard to see this, but what's going on here is God, through Moses, is talking to the children, and he says, once you get into that land, there's going to be people who will convert and live with you. It's not just meaning they're living next door, but they are going to change their ways and they are going to be living with you, and you are to treat them as though they are native born. What he's saying is, people are born Jewish. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew. If somebody comes along and lives in your country and says, your God shall be my God, your people shall be my people, I want to learn the ways of your God, I choose to follow and walk in the ways of your God, your Savior, teach me those ways. He's saying at that point, when that person, that foreigner, converts, you are from now on to treat them as though they were native born, just like you. You are to treat them decent. You're to teach them. You're not to keep throwing up their past into their faces and saying, well, you were this way. Well, you were a Roman. Well, you was in a Babylonian. Now you're to be saying, you have become one of us, and you're to treat those people. How does that play out? In the future, we're reading in Leviticus, Moses this time, you go all the way up into the book of Acts, and you have this person who's a real mean, nasty person. His name's Saul. Saul's riding, walking, going along to Damascus. We found out he wasn't necessarily riding a donkey after a big conversation a few years ago. He and Barb over here snickering because she's one go, doesn't say he's riding a donkey. But anyway, so Paul, he ends up becoming Paul, is going up and he's going to cause great distress to the Christians in Damascus. He's going to arrest them, haul them back, throw them in jail, declare him blasphemous, and probably get him stoned to death. So we have this going on, and instead Paul sees a vision of Jesus. He's knocked down. Then he goes blind. He goes to the city of Damascus, and the Holy Spirit talks to a guy named Ananias. And he says, Ananias, you need to go over and talk to this guy named Paul. Tells him where he's at. He says, I want you to go talk to him. And the guy says, wait a minute. He is an enemy God. He is an enemy Lord. He's the one that's been out there breathing fire against your people. He stood and watched Stephen get stoned and gave consent and said that was the right thing to do. And now you want me to go over there? And he says, yes. Basically, the Leviticus thing kicked in. This man is now converted. This man is now choosing to walk in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ananias goes over, meets him, and he says this, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto me, has sent me." And then he prays for him to receive the Holy Spirit. Notice, here Ananias is looking at this guy going, "He's the enemy." And after God talks to him, he goes over and he says, "Brother Saul." He doesn't attack Paul. He doesn't say, "All the crummy things that you did, you're lucky we don't haul you out and stone you." And he doesn't trash Paul. He just says, "Brother Paul, Jesus has sent me over," and he prays for the guy. How does this work out? If there is some person that you do not like, some person who has been your enemy, and they convert, you are to treat them as though they have been coming to this church for many, many moons. Just like they were one of the kids that was raised in this church. They are the new kid on the block. They do not know their way around. They do not have friends. They're not there in a comfortable situation. They're wanting to assimilate. They're wanting to learn the ways of the Lord. And it's our place to welcome them as though they are native born, to be right there for them. We've all been in the awkward position where we're the new kid on the block. We're in a new situation where we don't know people. And we're sitting there going, "Gee, I wish somebody would be here with me and help me walk through this situation that I am in." And we are to be the people to walk the new Christians through the life of being a Christian and to welcome them into our church. Now, all the way going back again to 30, based on everything we know, if the person is an enemy and they're threatening you, give them what they need. Give them along, because you're supposed to survive so you can talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. But if they convert, that verse 30 no longer means we're to be handing out to these new converts. We are to teach them what the Bible expects out of Christians. And a Holy Spirit inspired scripture given through Paul, the former enemy of the church, given through Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, the last part, and I'll be quick about it. Paul is writing and he's talking to these Thessalonians. He says, "When we were there, we gave you a new rule. If a man doesn't work, he shall not eat." So, once the person, the enemy, converts, you say, "Hey, you've got to give up shaking people down. You can't just go around demanding money like they do in communist countries. Now that you're a new believer and you're walking in the ways of Christ, you've got to learn to walk the way a Christian does. And that's not by shaking people down. That's not by robbing people. That's by earning a living." And there's a place where it says, he that stole, let him steal no more. Give that up. Let him get a job and actually help other people. So a person who was a former thief is to get a job and become a responsible citizen and then take the money he earns and actually invest it in other people, even in the enemies that are now mistreating him. The very last thing is to be merciful. That verse we read in Luke, it talks about be merciful to other people, just like God is merciful. And the word mercy is actually rooted in the word misery. Mercy, misery. It's rooted, it comes out of that word misery, to be merciful or mercy. And this is a long phrase for what we use one word. Mercy means to take to heart the miseries of some other person with the intent of giving them comfort and relief. Mercy is when we see somebody who is miserable, taking their misery to heart and with intent saying, "I'm here to help you, to comfort you, and to give you relief from your misery." That is what God does. Now take this very positively. I want us to understand that just like we are the righteousness of God, we are righteous because He said so. And someday, on that subject, someday our actions will catch up with what God says we are. He says, "You are righteous." And someday our actions will improve and improve and improve and improve till people will say, "That person has changed so much. Here's an example. I knew a kid, hired him. He was 16 years old. He went to work for me. And a person walked in and said, I will never be back in this store as long as that kid works here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I hired a serial killer or something, you know? And he said, and the person said, when he was 6 years old, he was in my Cub Scout group. And he was the honoriest kid that I ever met. And I will not have anything to do with that kid. And I'll not be back until you get rid of him. And I looked at the person and I said, have a good day. Have a good day. That person that told me that was supposed to be a church-going person. The kid they wanted fired, he's probably 40-some years old now. Married, got kids, a good guy. I only cross his path probably once every 2 or 3 years. But every time he sees me, he's like, hey, how's it going? Glad to see you. We had fun, didn't we? Goes on and on and on. He turned out to be a good guy. And that person was holding stuff he did when he was 6 years old against him 10 years later. They shouldn't have trash-talked him to the boss. People will trash-talk you. But our boss is God. And He says, you're righteous. Our God says, you're the good people. And you're mine. And He will look at those other people and say, so long. This is my kids. And I say, they're righteous. They're not perfect. They're righteous. And having said all that, we are to enter into this situation just like God did with us. He saw our misery. He saw our sins. He saw our difficulties. And He said, I'm going to enter in and give you relief. If you're in a miserable situation, just like that person was trying to put that kid in a miserable situation and get them fired, God is there for you. And it says this is godliness. He is there to give you relief. If you're in a miserable situation, if your enemies are shaking you down, if you've just got any kind of problem in your life, God Himself is a merciful God. We say that all the time. And that means He takes your problems to His heart and He's there to give you relief. We are to be like Him. So we are to see people who are in misery, take it to heart, and give them what relief we can. Help them out the best we can to get them along. But don't let them shake you down. If they're a member of a church, it's time to do your best for them and say, hey, you're a professed Christian. It's time to grow up. Don't go around shaking people down. Instead, let's go find you something to do. And then you can earn your way and become a prosperous person in this world and become a respected community, person within our community. That's just day-to-day stuff. Ladies, I wish I could have said something wonderful about you. I can't. You are blessed. You are blessed. And we do appreciate all the things that you have done for us as we were growing up, for this church. I came out here when I was a little kid for vacation Bible school. So keep them in prayer as they prepare for vacation Bible school, because the ladies are the ones that are really going to be pushing and working and doing all this stuff. So pray for them. But thank you, ladies, for all the great things that you have done. And God will bless you. He hasn't forgotten you. I don't have anything to say, but I did find out something this morning. I'm actually a member of the board. And I can make motions, and I can second motions. And so I make the motion that Chuck take over at this point. Do I hear a second? If I don't, somebody else is going to get volunteered. Second. Chuck, would you come forward now? All those in favor say aye. Aye. All those opposed, there is none. The motion carries.